I have a question for you as we begin today. What song was written by the man who is considered the father of modern Christian hymn writing? It is based on that scripture I just read. It's based on Psalm 98. And it is about the second coming. It is about the second coming of Christ. Anybody have an idea what that might be? Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Joy to the world was written as a song of praise for Christ who will return, for the second coming of Christ. We associate it with Christmas, with the birth of Jesus, but Isaac Watts, that's the gentleman's name who wrote this song, and this prolific hymn writer, he wrote it to glorify God and Christ about the second coming. Every Sunday during Advent, we're emphasizing a particular gift that Christ brought and a particular song that highlights that gift. And today's gift that we're going to talk about that was brought by Christ is joy. And the song that we have already sung is Joy to the World. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background about what Isaac Watts was thinking when he wrote this hymn. Watts was born to what are called dissenting parents. His parents didn't accept the authority and the practices of the Church of England. That's more serious than it sounds, because back then, if you didn't agree with the authority and teachings of the Church of England, you'd be thrown in jail. As a matter of fact, as a boy, Watts sang hymns outside the walls of a prison. He sang those hymns outside the walls of a prison to encourage his father, who had been arrested for his nonconformist beliefs. And as Watts grew up, he was increasingly unhappy with the hymns of the day back then. We're talking the 17th and 18th centuries, 16 and 1700s. The hymns back then were psalms set to music. And so the hymns did not mention things that were spelled out in the New Testament in the Gospels. And so Watts, he didn't care for the hymns of the day, so he started writing hymns based on the psalms, but interpreted those hymns in the light of the New Testament. So for instance, he took Psalm 98 and he wrote it in anticipation of how Christ would rule when he came back, the second coming. And that was a big, big departure from the way that hymns were normally written back then. Because Christ, back in those centuries, as they sang hymns, he wasn't the focus of those hymns. And so today we're going to do something which I'm not sure I've ever done, but we're going to do this anyway. We're going to look at the lyrics of Joy to the World, and we're going to see what they have to say to us, okay? The first stanza of Joy to the World teaches that there is joy when the King is received. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Every heart was not joyful when Jesus was born. King Herod was not joyful. He saw Jesus as a threat. He was already so paranoid about somebody trying to take his throne, he had murdered three of his own sons. He was not going to tolerate a rival, even if that rival was just an infant. But truthfully, a lot of people today reject Jesus as their king. They might not say that, but they reject him for the same reasons as folks did back in the day, if you want to call it that. They see Jesus as a threat to their plans. They see Jesus as a threat to their freedom. They see Jesus as a threat to their passions. They see Jesus as a threat to their greed and pride. The reasons Jesus is rejected today are the same as they were 2,000 years ago. We do not want to give over the control of our lives to the Lord. I've told you the story before, but I never will forget it. I went to prison to visit somebody once, a lady. And I'm there and I'm speaking to her. You know, we just got a little cutout there and a little screen, and I'm talking to her. And, you know, we've talked for a while, and I start talking about the Lord. And And I asked her, you know, after I've kind of given my gospel presentation, if you will, there, I said, would you like to accept Christ? Now think about where she's sitting and think about, you know, she's talking through this screen to me. And I say, would you like to accept Christ? She said, no, no. He's too confining. He's too confining. That's what this woman in prison said to me. And, you know, I try and prepare, and so I'm trying to be ready for responses and what somebody might say, so I'll think of what to say next. I didn't have much to say after that. I said, okay, if Christ is too refining or confining to you, I said, that's fine. I said, I'm about to get up and go. I'm about to get up and go in the confinement of Christ. You can get up and you can go back to your cell in the freedom of your sin. I mean, it was ridiculous. But people do not want to give up control of their lives, even to the one who made them. And the same reasons that they give today are the same reasons that they gave back in the time of Jesus. The second stanza of that song says that there is joy when the Savior reigns. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. In other words, we're supposed to sing about that. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Creation itself will express its delight when Jesus comes back to rule and to reign. God has made us to be social creatures, and the joy of the Lord is not to be locked up in an isolated heart. It's to flow or to overflow from us and change how we go about our lives and relate to each other. The most ridiculous thing in the world is this idea that we would receive and have the best news in all the world. And we do. We have the best news that has ever been, the best news in all the world, and yet, oftentimes we don't want to share it. How ridiculous is that? Receiving Christ is the most important first step of your life. But after that first step, we have to go on in Christ and let Him reign in our lives. While He was here on earth, He encountered large crowds, Jesus did, who were ready and willing to receive Him. But they weren't ready to let Him take charge. They wanted Him to do things their way, not His way. So many people today are more than willing to receive the good things that the Lord has to offer. Yes, Lord, oh, give me a home in heaven. I want a home in heaven. Yes, Lord, take care of me, as you have promised, no matter what. But we don't want Him to take charge of every area of our lives. We don't want Him to take charge of our ethical makeup. We don't want Him to take charge of what we might look at, our entertainment. We don't want Him to take charge of our thought lives. We don't want Him in charge of important decisions of our lives, like where we live or who we will marry or what career we'll choose. We want to figure those things out ourselves. Listen, this is such an important point, and this is for everybody here from whatever age you might be. If you have received Jesus, wonderful, wonderful. That's tremendous. And oftentimes I ask people, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Yes, I received Him 20 years ago. I went to the altar and knelt down. Wonderful. But if you have received Jesus without letting Him reign, rule in your life, that is a sure recipe for missing out on true joy. And that is the number one reason why so many Christians lack joy in their lives. They've received Jesus, but they don't let Jesus rule in their lives. And so they're miserable because their consciences know. We know when we're living below the level that the Lord intends. And because He is not on the throne of our lives, sin is still reigning in some areas. And that is a sure, sure, sure recipe for unease and misery and lack of joy. Indecisiveness in the Christian life. And a deep hypocrisy where we say we love the Lord, but we're not really letting Him reign. That hypocrisy that will sap the joy out of your life. Because you know, you can play games, you can come to church, you can go through the motions, you can say the right things, but you know, everyone here today, there's not a single one of you, if you have cognitive thought, if you're above the age of, well, if you're above a certain age where you know what's going on, you know if Jesus is ruling in your life or not. And you can tell me different, you can tell other people different, but you know if Jesus is ruling in your life or not. He knows. He knows what will bring you joy. He knows best what will bring you the most joy. He knows you better than you know yourself. It's been said that joy is a byproduct of obedience, and I believe that. If you want true and growing joy, if you want steady joy in your life, obey this, and you will have joy in your life. Start today reading His Word. Pray before you read. And ask the Lord's help in understanding what you read. And ask the Lord's help in obeying immediately, today, what you read. If you read something today and it jumps out at you and you say to yourself, boy, that's the word of the Lord, and I'm not doing that. I'm really not doing that in my life. Then immediately, don't wait till next week, don't wait for a better time. Immediately start obeying the word of the Lord. And what you are doing then, a byproduct of that, is that you are planting seeds of joy that will grow very soon in your life. When the Lord comes back, He's going to undo all the disastrous effects of sin. We naturally focus on what sin has done to us, but sin has far-reaching consequences on the entire creation, including the earth itself. The third stanza says of joy to the world, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. This world was not meant to have even minor annoyances like things like thorns, and certainly not things like floods and tornadoes and stuff like that. When the Lord returns, we will see creation as it was meant to be, as something that was freed from the curse of sin, something we can work joyfully with instead of having to almost work against and have to produce things like crops and things by the sweat of our brow. That's not the way that it was meant to be. And when Jesus comes back, He's going to change all that. How far-reaching will His redemption be? How far-reaching will it be that He will change things? That song says it so well, but it borrows it. It takes it from Psalm 98. As far as the curse is found. As far as the curse of sin and the effects of sin are found, that is how far the grace of our Lord will come and overwhelm that sinful condition. And the last stanza of that song teaches that there is joy when He will rule the world with truth and grace. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. I get sick of people taking credit for things they didn't do. I get sick of politicians coming up and say, well, because I was in office in 2000 and whatever, and the country was doing pretty well then, so I'm responsible for it. Oh, it was due to my leadership and due to this and due to that, that things went so well. Listen, it's not going to be that way with the Lord. It's not going to be with that way of the Lord. It says He will make the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. There will be no debate when the Lord comes back as to who deserves credit for what. No, when the Lord comes back by acclamation, the nations will say, your way is best. You deserve all glory. You deserve all honor. You deserve all praise. When he comes back, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can't wait. Can't wait for that. He will rule, that song and the scripture said, with a perfect balance of truth and grace. Truth, you can have truth without it always being gracious. If you ever hear somebody say, well, you know, I just told it like it is, they probably offended somebody by going heavy on the truth and light on the grace. But grace without truth is just sentimentality. Truth with love is true Christianity. Truth and love. The world yearns for leadership today. Leadership that balances truth and grace. Someone who will tell it like it is, but tell it in a loving way. And it's in such short supply today. When Christ returns, the world will have the true leadership it yearns for. And that is what joy to the world is all about. With each of these qualities we've talked about during the Advent season, there's a common thread. And that thread is, Christians cannot display these qualities to the world unless it's being realized in their own hearts. There's no way, there's absolutely no way that I can go outside these four walls and share the joy of Christ if it is not prevalent in my own heart. And there's no way that I can share any of the qualities that we've been talking about that the Lord has brought if they are not prevalent in my own heart. Christmas won't come until we receive what Christ brings, including joy, and then let the joy giver reign in our hearts. I ask you this morning, perhaps you've never received Christ. You've never received Him as your Savior. If that is true, you cannot have true and long-lasting joy. You cannot apart from Christ. But if you have at some point received Christ into your heart, the question I have for you today, is He ruling in your heart? Is He reigning in your heart? Is He the ruler over every part of you? Or do you have pockets and areas of your life where you're saying, I can do this myself? I don't want you ruling and reigning in that area. I'll take care of that myself. There are certain things in my life, they're not really big things, but I know you don't really approve of them. But I don't think they do much harm, so I'm just going to keep those for myself. Is He really ruling and reigning in your heart? If He's not really ruling and reigning in your heart, then I don't have to wonder or guess or ask. I know you have a lack of joy in your heart. Because it is always true that to the degree we do not let Christ rule and reign, that is the degree to which the joy just drains away. And so, there may be some of you here today that have never received Christ. Today be a great time to do that here as we're in the middle of the Christmas season. And I would encourage you to receive Him today. But to the rest of you, and I know you, and I think the world of you, and I know that you have received Christ. But again I say, is He reigning in your heart? And do you have true joy as a result? That's what He came to bring. And you know deep down in your heart, you know if you have the joy of the Lord that comes from a uncluttered relationship with Him. There's nothing in your life that's gumming things up. There's nothing in your life standing between you and the Lord. But things are open and clear, and you are walking in the middle of His will. That is where you find truth. true joy. And so today the altar is open and the invitation is given to receive Him and to let Him reign. And what a deal. You get to leave this place with true joy in your heart. Joy that need never leave you no matter what's going on. Joy that will be there in spite of circumstance. Joy that will always be with you. That's the joy of the Lord. Today, as our worship leaders come, the altar is open and the invitation is given to receive Christ and to make Him, by an act of your will, because of His grace, to make Him the Lord, the ruler, the one who reigns in your life. The altar is open today. Invitation given. Yes, Lord, we celebrate the baby that came for us, that grew into the man, our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate that, and we look forward to His return when He will reign over all of His creation. And Lord, as a forerunner, a foretaste of that, may He reign in our hearts right now. Every part of them, Lord, we can safely, every part of our hearts, we can safely entrust to You, knowing that the Creator, the one who made us, is the one who knows best. And when we give ourselves to You unreservedly, that is when we have joy, the joy that bubbles over so much that we just have to share it. And so, Lord, as we go now, give us opportunities in the coming week, as I know You gave us opportunities in the past week, give us opportunities to share the good news with a friend, with an acquaintance, perhaps even with a stranger. But Lord, open those doors for us for Your glory. And so we go now in the joy that You give. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.